Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you in here with us tonight. Praise Yahweh. We're going to go into a Bible study, and we are going to go to the contrasting viewpoints of Judaism and Christianity, or the Bible and the Talmud, is basically where we're going tonight. Praise Yahweh. So, we're glad you're in here with us tonight. Praise Yahweh. Let's get right into the Word. And I want to start with a book by Rabbi Jacob Neumeyer, where he admitted to the contrasting differences between the Jews' morality and the morality of those following the teachings of the Christ. The way so radically differs from the Jewish way, talking about Christianity, it is clear that we are hearing different voices from Sinai. Oh my. Now, as has already been pointed out, the Jews themselves admit that they do not follow the laws of God given to Moses and to the Israelites at Mount Sinai. Instead, they follow the Talmud, which originated in Babylon. Now, isn't that strange, ladies and gentlemen, that they would seek to follow something other than what we believe to be the inerrant Word of God? Now, listen to this. According as it is written, that Herman Walk, he confesses that the Talmud, not the Bible, is to this day the circulating heart's blood of the Jewish religion. The following overview of the Talmudic and biblical morality reveals the stark contrast between these two books of faith and the morality of their seekers. Well, let's look at the morality teachings of the Bible versus the Talmud from the Babylonian Talmud. The Talmud approves of sodomy. The Bible prohibits sodomy. Now, here's what the Talmud has to say about those of sodomy. If one commits sodomy with a child of less than 9 years of age, no guilt is incurred. Ladies and gentlemen, are we talking about a religious body? Or are we talking about a book that has been written to break every code of the Word of God as we know it? The Jews, those that call themselves Jews, should address themselves to the laws of God. Isn't it written in the book of Leviticus? Do they not read the book of Leviticus? Of forbidden sexual practices in the 18th chapter? Notice what the Bible says in Leviticus 18:22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Now, where does this say anything that if they commit sodomy with a child less than 9 years old, it's not sodomy? No wonder Christ condemned the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes by saying, is it not written in your law? Evidently, they had a law to themselves. Well, let's see what it says about child sacrifice to idols. here's what the Talmud says. He who gives his seed to Moloch incurs no punishment. Now, ladies and gentlemen, are we? I can't understand this. Are we to call these people the chosen people of God? Are we so blind we can't deserve a divorce? He who gives his seed to Moloch incurs no punishment. Let's see what the Bible says. Whoever gives any of his seed to Moloch, he shall surely. Isn't it strange that we have a conflicting consciousness here? Now, let's see what the Bible says in Exodus 21:17 and Matthew 15, and whoever shall be put to death. What the Talmud says, one who curses his parent by the divine name. My. Well, let's see in Deuteronomy, the enchanting or encouragement of enchanting. Well, let's see what it says here. None of you shall be an enchanter or a charmer or a consultant. Now let's go to the, it is permitted to counsel by a charm of oil and eggs and make incantations. Did you know that the chosen people by charm, spirits of oil and eggs, these are the quote-unquote holy people? Well, if you want, Leviticus says in the 18th chapter, you shall allow any woman stand before a beast to lie down and agree. Let's see what their guidelines done. Rabbi Jacob and said, we are so radically different from the people who follow the Talmud that we hear two different voices affirm and walk. The Talmud is this day of Jew religion. 18:23. You shall not lie with any beast, nor shall any woman stand. But the Talmud says, women having intercourse will marry a priest. The act is but a mirror. Oh, my. Am I seeing what I'm reading here? My ears, I'm looking right at the Talmud. Quote, women having intercourse with a beast can marry a priest mere wound. The Bible says, our Bible, the one that they should have, leaving Moses, why have they gotten away from the writings of Moses? Or are they something else? Well, let's find out. She that plays the whore in her father's house shall be put to death. Chapter 22, verse 21. Moses writing this now, ladies and gentlemen. Now, no wonder the world's getting in such a mess. This multicultural society has drifted in enchanting, cursing parents, sacrificing to idols, and committing sodomy already. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not even out of the gate here. We got all this going on. No wonder that these liberals come in and take away our biblical standards and replace them with this bestiality, condoning, enchanting, witchcraft. Look at all your movies, Harry Potter and such, all this crap, baloney, cursing parents, child sacrifice, sodomy with children. Well, let's see what the Bible says. He that plays the whore shall be put to death, Deuteronomy 22:21. But let's see what the Talmud says. A harlot's har is permitted, for what the woman has received is legally a gift. Oh, my. Blasphemy. Let's see what the Bible says about blasphemy. He that blasphemes the name of Yahweh shall surely be put to death. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 16. Well, let's see what the Sanhedrin says in 65 A.B. One can revile the divine name if mentally applying it to some other object. Oh my, how they get around, I'll never know. Praise Yahweh. Now, let's see if vow keeping, remember the Bible said pay your vows? Numbers chapter 30 verse 2, if a man vows, he shall his word, he shall do according to all that he hath spoken. Nedrum 23a of the Talmud says, you are not required to keep vows. One may declare, every vow which I make in the future shall be null. One can vow and declare, every vow which I make in the future shall be null. And then they can go ahead and break all their vows. Well, let's see about murder. And the Bible says about it, shalt not murder. According to Numbers 35:18, he that smites a man with a stave so that he dies is a murderer and shall be put to death. Let's see what it says in the Sanhedrin. If 10 men smote a man with 10 staves and he died, they are exempt from punishment. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're contrasting tonight the difference between the morals of the Bible and the morals of the Talmud. Something rotten here to the core. Now, let's look at the precepts that depict the morality of its Jewish adherents today. A Jew is considered to be good in the eyes of God in spite of any sins he commits. It is allowed for a Jew to take usury from apostates. As Christians, you know. When a grown man, Jewish man, has had intercourse with a little girl, it is nothing. Let me repeat this. This is right out of the Holy Book of the Talmud. Oh, no wonder you don't find these on your bookshelves. You'll find pornography. You'll find smut and filth from the Jewish presses, but you won't find a set of Jewish Talmud books set out for you, the Goyim, to view or to inquire inside of the covers. Ladies and gentlemen, you would be appalled at the things that we have already read. You should have been. And we're still continuing here, and listen to this garbage. Anybody that believes this, anybody that condones this, has to be a warped, perverted pervert. When a grown Jewish man has had intercourse with a little girl, it's nothing. For when the little girl is less than 3 years old, it is if one puts the finger into the eye. Tears come to the eye again and again, and so does a virginity come back to the little girl under 3 years old. It is nothing. To sexually molest a grown man now, a three-year-old child, can you believe that they condone this crap? We call them God's chosen people? Okay, listen to this. In the Sanhedrin 59a, a goy, non-Jew, who pries into the law is guilty of death. A goy, non-Jew or Christian, who pries into the Talmud is guilty of death. Now you see why. That they don't put out their favorite reading material. This is the lifeblood of Judaism. Are you listening to me tonight, ladies and gentlemen? This is Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Calling. We're talking tonight serious matters here. Things that you should be aware of or made aware of, and here on the Shepherd's Call, we're not prejudiced. We're just going to tell the truth on everybody, including ourselves and those that listen. Praise Yahweh needs to hear what the truth is. A non-Jew who pries into the Talmud is guilty of death. So they want you looking in here. Could it be that they don't want you to read? That if a grown Jew, man, male, can penetrate a three-year-old female child, it's nothing? It's nothing. There's no problem. Ladies and gentlemen, no wonder these perverts have perverted the whole world and ruined every nation that they enter. With the garbage of this depravity, it represents just a small sampling of the Talmud's immoral perversion. Once again, Rabbi Adin Stansalt described the staggering impact that the Talmud has upon lives and morals of its Jewish believers. The Talmud is the central pillar of Judaism, soaring up from the foundations and supporting the entire spiritual and intellectual edifice. In many ways, the Talmud is the most important book in Jewish culture. It is the backbone of creativity and of national life. No other work has had a comparable influence on the theory and practice of Jewish life. It is shaping spiritual content and serving as a guide to conduct. Go ahead. You Jewish grown man, find you a little virgin, Caucasian, preferably, three-year-old child, and go ahead. Have sex with it. It's okay. It's no more than sticking your finger in her eye. The tears will well up, but it will heal. And in time, she will be none for the worse. Are these Jewish psychiatrists that we send our children to, and we ourselves lay down on their couches and pay them exorbitant amounts of money to go into our brain and to psychoanalyze us with this crap? From what they've been taught, their basic fundamental understanding that it is the shaping content and serving as a guide of conduct, that it's okay, it's condoning, to it approves of sodomy. It approves of a child sacrifice. It approves of cursing the parents. It approves of enchantment, witchcraft. It approves of bestiality. It's okay to have sex with intercourse with a woman and a beast. It's okay to be a harlot. Go ahead, it doesn't matter. Blasphemy, it's okay. Keeping the vow, nah, go ahead and lie. If they're going, you can lie to them. And you can break your vows. Null and void. You can condone murder. they are exempt from punishment, especially if you kill a goyim. No Jew will testify in court against another Jew that has committed murder against a Gentile, or a goyim, as they say. Okay. And writing about the Talmud's influence upon Jewish life, Mr. Our Master is on the Talmud is a faithful mirror of the manner of the institutions and the knowledge of the Jews. In the word, it is the whole of their civilization, which puts a people as the positive its feelings and its beliefs itself. As its soul, Mr. God Master also admitted the problem about the Greek book of Jewish tradition was in the first head scholars for the most part looking at the Talmud as a monstrosity and in the formal production which damned the morality of the Jewish people and the Jews hardly present in the sweetness of a word that has the bull and work in the birth chief and the embodiment of their religious life. They it and cannot say this is justifiable reason for that it is on these abominations of the Christians apologize that is evil cause and they believe the Holy Word of God and the mortals of the Jews that tried to pretend say which doesn't crush it and lose any attention to what the Bible says. It allows our sacrifice, it approves ritual sacrifice, it approves the cooking in parents, and it approves the chanitry and the harlotry, the blasphemy. You can figure it out, and you can murder and get away with it. All of this in the sport, or insulin, or control, or the whole end of or contracting, now, the Holy Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem here is that we have a bit of a problem. The turn of the Jews now are international authority. In fact, three creeds in the different materials that you get out of your bookstores. You pay insurance, it's a bigger portion of the workings today. It's just like a million for solid. I was asking for me to rent another restaurant for the city on program tonight. We're talking about the contest. This is not the URL of the Muskrat Synthesis. This is not funny. We're waiting for a show. It's called Kant. And we have author in the context class typical understanding of the typical understanding of the laboratory that's provided to the Jews. Laboratory in John Talmud. It's in John Allen problem here. We've got a mess problem, Mr. It is well, understandably, it's clear that the problem is that the Jews at Talmud got problems. Got problems. Just now, let's read just a little bit here. The Talmud, Judah's central pillar of the Judah is near the Talmud and the faith in the institution of the man knowledge institutions, the knowledge of the Jews. Most Christians say they look upon it as a monstrosity production in form production, spiritual production, which you say that when it comes is artificial, a when it occurs may of having a girl called man with having a child court with a three-year old child and condemned. That's very interesting that Samuel death needed to the identity of similitude and the morality of the Jews and those factions and they're the Jews. They were very interested in very tidal differences at least to the sources of two separate studies of human conduct. Samuel death Samuel Roth. And the ancients of his Mr. Robert used Maswell test Mr. Roth and fells intensified to his own nature and their cancerous effect of the rest of the Mosaic creed. The first of these Jewish creed is that Jesus Maswell had a half. It doesn't matter how. What if Joyce Nestle made, and so they returned, made the ancient policy of the Mahoney's fat and scalloped by the cheese of delicate method of chicken and cutting. By no way to tree, and by his fruit, thou and murder this fate is a creep, thou murder in the living apes, and looting they are stealing, they and here they say that they are peaceful, death for a peaceful eating, go at the front of cheating, lying in front of it, and written by Milf Roth, him and Susan A. of Neff. He admits they are methods of cheating, they are buying a friend of cheating. What did I say in the eighth chapter? I say in the eighth of the booker on fourth of the book John Robert, for talking to the Jews, father, talking to the father, and the Jews, and the world of father, the devil, and the words of your healer, the five. You were he for and a bold in the truth. Thank you, but you have met the bold chief in the truth. Thank you, and the name of chief proved and proved. Do they live about the law, or do they live? Do they love about God? Almighty God, by the law. Almighty God, by a set of devils, by the falsities, fools, up at the infacity, by the weapon, in where they, by on, now, working their way, from a book, making their stuff is written on a book, exclusively, is for two, but it's actually for two, for our conduct and attitudes toward those without the whole purpose of you in business was to give us the joy, was to get the best quality. Like good priest, except for experiment, with 3% of the world's population, 27% of the West, 9% of the Jews, less than 1% of the world population, and less public percent of the world, for at least 5% of the least is West, with 1% of the population. Something wrong here, and there's something like terrorism wrong, some with the terrorism, and of with the of the system. The whole of the Jew in business was to get the whole of the law saying when the goal to get the achievement in business was good goal as when the Jews just come out even business with you had to come before the business was hurt the harm he had done in the whole of the crazy version with the Dante and then he first appeared to the Nazi and the light and have the Jew the light the that is on page 238, by the way, that of abusement itself, by the way, of it is practically a moral obligation on the part of ever a conscientious Jew to prove and cheat and social for the door and he never the door is whenever possible. The rest of creation, cows, horses, the vittles, the priests, dozen animals, going were priests, then and auto. Were convincing us or inconvenient the person of God could hear and they forced the behind the team of the transaction. And, ladies and gentlemen, we are classified with the horses, the metal title tree of the Lord, the metal tree as Zonia. And as they are only to take advantage and to fool and to cheat and when a fool and where he tessel place and where classify themselves, the Jews, on a reluctance to tell Jews, cause the lies. They explain, this is a lie. And not only of religious, this is expansiveness, not only religious, but it's will to measure rest of religion. So it is not one of the sort of religion. It's not Jews do not proselytize because they are firmly convinced that they will eventually inherit the earth and they will live as few times as possible to the wind all. Well, that makes a lot of sense for Yahweh. That makes a lot of sense for Yahweh. Attitude of a young Jew towards his predation is really that of a gangster towards a new rabbit. But the real end is the amount of money it is likely to yield him in exchange for the smallest investment of labor and enthusiasm. Yeah. Let's find out what becomes of young Jews who cannot attend to one of the professions as they have not the money with which to buy a newsstand or the mental resourcefulness to create a selling line. Here's what happens. Most of them remain on the street corners of their neighborhoods and become the petty thieves, hold-up men, strike breakers, backstore crop shooters, street corner mashers, dope peddlers and dope smugglers, white slave traffickers, kidnappers, and petty racketeers of every peaceful community now in America. Certainly Jews are not the only people who become gangsters. To make civilized life on this continent creepy with a thousand species of reptilian or repellent crime, the Irish, the Greek, the Italian immigrants contribute their substantial share. There is, however, this difference, and let me point it out. Between their respective contributions, the Irishman, the Italian, and the Greek become criminals out of sheer necessity and remain so only as long as the necessity lasts. As in every other thing the Jew touches, he immediately conceives of it as a career and stays in it. The Irish and the Italian and the Greek gangsters are skin sores on the social body for sure. Eventually, with a little application of remedy, they can be cleared away. The Jewish gangster embeds himself deeply in the flesh of society to become a permanent and, if not, a fatal tumor, a newsstand, or the mental resourcefulness to create a selling line. Here's what happens. Most of them remain on the street corners of their neighborhoods and become the petty thieves, hold-up men, strike breakers, backstore crop shooters, street corner mashers, dope peddlers and dope smugglers, white slave traffickers, kidnappers and petty racketeers of every peaceful community now in America. Certainly Jews are not the only people who become gangsters. To make civilized life on this continent creepy with a thousand species of reptilian or repellent crime, the Irish, the Greek, the Italian immigrants contribute their substantial share. There is, however, this difference, and let me point it out. Between their respective contributions, the Irishman, the Italian, and the Greek become criminals out of sheer necessity and remain so only as long as the necessity lasts. As in every other thing the Jew touches, he immediately conceives of it as a career and stays in it. The Irish and the Italian and the Greek gangsters are skin sores on the social body for sure. Eventually, with a little application of remedy, they can be cleared away. The Jewish gangster embeds himself deeply in the flesh of society to become a permanent and, if not, a fatal tumor in the brain of society. Now, in the book, Judaism and the Christian Predicament, in a chapter entitled The Oral Torah, Rabbi Ben Zion Bosker also directed our attention to this difference in morality. Quote, "This is not an uncommon impression, and one finds it sometimes among Jews as well as Christians, that Judaism is the religion of the Hebrew Bible. It is, of course, a false, phallus impression. whoever would seek to compare the classic Jewish tradition of the Talmud with the biblical world of the Hebrew and Christian faith and life would find some startling contrast when the two are placed side by side. Judaism and the Christian Predicament by Rabbi Ben Zion of Bokster. He is telling the truth here. After one reads the previous quotes from the Oral Torah, the Talmud, there can be no doubt of this divergence in morality between Jewish tradition and Christian faith by Oscar Ludwig Levy admitted to the tragic morality of the Jews. There has been no progress, least of all moral progress, and it is just our morality which was or has prohibited real progress. And what is worse, which even stands in the way of ever future and natural reconstruction in this ruined world of ours. I look at this world and I shudder at its ghastliness. I shudder all the more as I know the spiritual authors of all this ghastliness on page 143 of the Oral Torah. He shudders at the morality of the Jews, which he says there has been no progress, legal, moral progress. How can you, unless you change your teaching and instruction to those that want to have sex with a three-year-old child and claim that they have done no harm? On May the 29th in 1989, Jewish seminary students raided a Palestinian refuge camp in the occupied West Bank. While so doing, they murdered a 13-year-old girl. Their spiritual leader, Rabbi Yitzhak Ginsburg, justified the murder in his comments over Israeli radio. We have to recognize that Jewish blood and the blood of a goy are not the same thing. Every law that is based on equating goys, non-Jews or Christians, and Jews is completely, to us, unacceptable. The blood of a goy and the blood of a Jew is not the same thing. In anti-Semitism, its history in colleges, Bernard Lazar admitted that Jewish immorality ruins other nations. Notice, quote, the Jews are not being an Aryan, has not the same moral, social, or intellectual conceptions as the Aryan. There is vast differences, and therefore he, the Jew, must be eliminated or else he will ruin the nations that have received him. Bernard Lazar admitted that Jewish immorality ruins other nations, and he said, unless they are eliminated, they will ruin all nations that receive them. Nearly 100 years later, David Saperstein inadvertently admitted to the truth of Mr. Lazar's claim when he said the Christian radical right has a dramatically different vision for America than do the Jews. No group is more supportive of abortion rights, gay civil rights, a separation of church and state, and more opposed to the general ultra-conservative agenda of the religious right than the Jewish community. Notice Maurice Samuel wrote, you Christian Anglo-Saxons and your system of morality is no less a need to you than ours is to us. And the incompatibility of the two systems is not passive. You might say, well, let us exist side by side and tolerate each other. We will not attack your morality, nor you ours. But The misfortune is that the two are not merely different. They are opposed in moral, through tactic, and enmity. No man can accept both or accepting either do otherwise than despise the other. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a choice tonight that you need to make about the situation. Are we to be led by this moral standard? Are they to condone homosexuality, abortion rights, gay rights, separation of church and state? Of course, they want it separated. And opposed to the general conservative agenda of Bible-believing people. And so then, they cannot. The misfortune is that the two are not merely different. They are opposed and opposite. And they contain enmity against each other. No man can accept both or accepting either do otherwise and despise the other. End of quote. Now, notice, our very radicalism is a different temper. Our spur is a natural instinct. We Jews do not have to uproot something in ourselves to become radicals, dreamers, or social justice of socialism. We are this by instinct. We do not see it as something revolutionary at all. It is tactic. Understood with us, but with you Christians, it is an effort and a wrench. Your very ancestry cries out against it in your blood. The Jewish radical will discover that nothing can bridge the gulf between you, the Christian Anglo-Saxons, and us, the Talmudic Jews. Mr. Samuel Feather identified Jew and Anglo-Saxon differences in the following revealing terms. He's quote, another question more suitable and disturbing must be faced. I have said there are two life forces in our world. I know that Jewish and Gentile Anglo-Saxons, ours and yours, it is to be a truth. We must not be driven from it. Here is the Gentile life force, and here is the Jewish life force. What their origins was, I cannot say. I can only affirm to the Jews in the vein belongs the Jewish life force, a consistent and coherent force, a direction in human thought and reaction. To you others belongs the Gentile life force, a mode of life so distinct from ours. We will have the cleavage to assimilate and undeniable in the name. We are forever distinct and separate. Ours is one life and yours is another. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Pastor Buddy in the Shepherd's Call, and I know that there are differences tonight between the Jew and the Christian, between the Bible and the Talmud. And yet we blindly give them the honor of saying that they're God's chosen people. Ladies and gentlemen, does the Bible support that? We don't think so. Does the Bible support their stand in homosexuality, gay rights, liberal left, away from the Bible, church and state separation? These liberal laws that have been passed in the last 50 years in America has brought America crying to its knees. We are now at the mercy of all of the international cartels of thievery and robbery, prostitution, homosexuality, perverted ways, child abductions, sodomy, witchcraft, all this, pleasure, eating and drinking and being merry is attributed to the very things that I have just said tonight on the Shepherd's Call. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is time for me to give you my address. If you'd like to write me, just write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 378 1724. That's New Times World, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, if you'd like to telephone me tonight, you can call me at area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to email me, just email Buddy, B-U-D-D-Y, at www.gep.net. That's Buddy, B-U-D-D-Y, lowercase letters, at www.gep.net. Now, that's all you'll need, praise Yahweh. And we will be looking for your call, and we will be looking for your email. We will be looking for your letter, praise Yahweh, of communication with Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. If you think it's time to stand up, if you think it's time to be counted, if you think it's time to put our shoulder to the wheel and bring back what our ancient fathers fought for, died for, as they carved out this country to make it what it is today. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the time of trouble, of Jacob's trouble, that I ministered to you last night about in the 30th chapter of the book of Jeremiah and chapter 7, or verse 7 of the 30th chapter. We are in a time of trouble, Jacob's trouble, when we have been overrun, all of our moral standards, all of our fundamental rights, has been swept aside for liberalism, where they have placed the federal judges in the positioning of ruling on the interpretation of our laws, turned it from a Christian nation into a communist social agenda, and we will, for the results, reap a whirlwind. All you've got to do is look into the countries where this liberal Canaanite communism has taken its roots. Go and look at the places where they have ruled and see how the societies have been ruined. Nations of greatness and power have failed, and we tonight, the Western European Caucasians, are no exception. We have now turned into moral decay. We become a liberalized bunch of heathen running to and fro and seeking rest in a nation and finding none. Ladies and gentlemen, unless we turn to the old path, which is the good way, we will not have any promise of covenants with our Father. We must return. We must open our eyes and we must cry out against the injustices and the wrongs that is now being committed in our nation. It's criminal what's going on. The contrast between the Bible and the Talmud. Those that stand for the Bible, those that stand for the Talmud, and the two opposing moral structures that is built around the acts and the promises of their belief system. Ladies and gentlemen, we were built upon the biblical principles, and now along comes the liberalism of the Talmud, and it's tearing down all those things that we held sacred. Well, I'll see you tomorrow night. This is Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call on Truth Radio. We'll see you in the morning at 7 a.m. Yahweh bless you and keep you until tomorrow night.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call, live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.